don't know me, this is my name. I've got a name tag here, so. The pastor is not here. That's why I'm here. And I'm going to be preaching Mulweni. And when I was speaking to, my brother here, he cautioned me because he asked me, what language do you use when you preach in Mulweni? I said, English. And he was not happy with me. He said he should speak in Zulu. So namhla ngizozama ukusumayela isiZulu lana. So you're confused. The problem with talking to people in different languages is that they don't grasp what you're trying to say. I still remember what the police commissioner Bekele said to his police officers, when you go out chasing criminals, speak in their language. He was just trying to say, shoot to kill. As you might notice, we're expecting a low turnout. But there is a lot of people today. It could be two things. It could significantly mean that times are tough. People are not going away anymore. Or else, it will mean that you love your God. And through my ministry, I've always been a fan of love when it comes to preaching the gospel. Because the whole message is about love. God created out of love. And we are Christians out of love. Remember, being a Christian is a choice. It's not a feeling. Sometimes we confuse the two. Sometimes we think we feel like. That's why we do things. No. We are Christians because we love God. And the whole ministry that Jesus came to minister with us was that we should grasp the word love and understand it. That's why he said he didn't want to change the commandments that were written in the laws of Moses, that was given to Moses. There were 10 commandments and lots of principles that are attached to these commandments. But the greater one is love. And the Bible reveals a very important aspect of our Christian life. It says God is love. So I've always preached love. Not like I'm the lover, but I believe in love. And as we see a lot of problems in the world today, you can agree with me. The question we ought to ask is, where is the love? That's a big question. But something interesting I want to talk about today. Our role, our service. We are called into service. Remember, in Matthew 28 and other scriptures, where they talk about Jesus is ascending into heaven, what does he say? Go. And Pastor Brian have been preaching and emphasizing on this point of going and making disciples. But you can't go if you're not a disciple yourself. And discipleship is about us learning more about the love of God. Because we are prompted to go by the love. We are like mirrors. We reflect God. When people see us, they should be able to see God in us. People won't change if they don't see God in us. But we need to absorb ourselves in this world. This morning, I don't want to talk too much. I do have time though. But KLC cautioned me. So that time is 5 minutes early, which means it's 9:30. And I was too clever today. I took my watch. This watch is not working. This watch is 10:00. And which means at 10:00, it will still be 10:00.
it'll be half past 11 o'clock. It'll still be 10 on my watch. And don't worry about the jacket. A lot of people are like, hey, you look good. What is it with black people and looking good? We like the suits. Every time I go to Mulwenny, there's a white side of me, there's a black side of me. That's why I call myself the black white guy. The white side of me goes to Mulwenny, and that's why I preach in English. I'm comfortable with English. By the way, I'm from Malawi, so I don't know much of isiZulu. I've been cautioned not to mention names, but as you might know, my sweetheart is a Zulu. I'm not mentioning names. Every time I go to Mulwenny, I feel like, who is preaching today? Because Watson is always in suits. And I want to tell you something about the jackets and the suits. If you go to Malawi, you'll see a lot of jackets and suits. We grew up being told that gentleman has got no weather. It might be hot, but you need a suit. You need a jacket, just for presentation purposes. In actual fact, we grew up believing that you go to school to get a job. And most of the jobs that we believe we'll get is white collar jobs, which is office jobs. So almost all of us got jackets in case we get that job. Unfortunately, we're not taught that even if you don't get a job, you can start your own business. And you can choose to wear any way you like. The other thing that I was taught when I was young is to watch out. I used to steal sugar. Must confess here. Sugar. I used to sneak in the kitchen, a spoon of sugar. Unfortunately, now I've lost a couple of teeth. But my mom and dad used to say, don't steal sugar. God is watching you. And the message for me when I was young, when I didn't know Christ that much, was you should fear God. Now, when you think about fearing, and that God is always watching you, and God is almighty and holy, you've got this picture of God, this very dangerous man. But I've been growing in spirit, knowing the word. Now I understand that fear and love, when it comes to God, they go together. Fear makes us obey, not be afraid. God says, draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. Which means God is looking for a relationship. And the problem with us, we're not taking heed of this. Relationship is very important in our Christian life. I'm glad that I belong to this church, because if you read just on your bulletin there, you see our statement that says we are Jesus' beacon of light. And the subtitle there, might call that way, is to love, share, and care. And this is a difficult thing that we find nowadays, is that we separate ourselves as Christians from the world. While Jesus' mission was to bring the world closer to him. So I've got a scripture here, before I get too excited with talking, from Luke 15. I just want us to have the picture of how Jesus viewed the world. Luke 15, verse 1 to 7. I'm sure a couple of you have got Bibles. We've emphasized on the issue of, if you don't have your Bible, don't despair, don't worry. Unfortunately, I'm on AV, so I didn't prepare any. Sorry. Luke 15, verse 1 to 7. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners kept gathering around him to hear him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes kept muttering, This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then he taught them this illustration, saying, what man among you with 100 sheep, on losing one of them, will not leave the 99 behind in the wilderness and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he has found it, he puts it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he gets home, he calls his friends and neighbors and together, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous ones who have no need of repentance. When I was reading this, I questioned the Pharisees and the scribes for their ignorance on the mission of Christ. But then when you read more about the Pharisees and the scribes, these are not ignorant people. These are very knowledgeable people. The scribes, men of law, the Pharisees, very religious people, they knew the word of God. So this is not ignorance. Their question, I find it a little bit, if I might use, Adrian, if you allow me, the word stupid. Stupidity is doing something that you know for sure, but you still do it. Ask the question that you know the answer, but you still ask it. I can't call these young ones here stupid when they ask questions. The kids ask questions because they want to learn. The Pharisees and the scribes, they are questioning Jesus' association with the sinners. Now I discovered why. And we have those people now who act like Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. You know what they were doing that time? They were separating themselves from the sinners. You know why? They say the sinners are unclean and we are the holy ones. Ignore my jacket, it's not that expensive. But these Pharisees were wearing very expensive clothes just to separate themselves. You think of politicians, right? The bodyguards. But these Pharisees knew exactly who Jesus was. That's why they are questioning. Why this man who is holy? Now, that's where it is. Just like us, instead of being with us, he's with the sinners and the tax collectors. What kind of man is this? A stupid question. You know why it's stupid? Because in your logical thinking, if you've got dirty clothes, you don't mix it with the clean ones. But in your logical thinking, you can clean this dirty clothes and then mix it with the clean ones. It's a simple mathematical issue. Jesus comes to wash away the sins. How does he do that? Does he take jik and soap and put it in the clean cloth? No. He doesn't mix with the clean ones. He mixes with the dirty ones. It's a simple issue. The Pharisees, now I'm thinking in my logical thinking. Maybe the Pharisees were hungry because it says that Jesus was eating with them. Maybe they wanted the food for themselves. But this is a serious issue we have today. As a church, as the people that represent Christ, what is our take on the world? Do we sit back and watch as the world crumbles? The economical issues, relationship issues, a lot of things happening out there. Do we sit back and just talk about it? In the bulletin you see there, I say watching from a distance. That's what we're doing as Christians. We like to talk about it. No actions. The Bible says, be the doers of the word, not the hearers. The Bible encourages us to gather the way we are here because we are like-minded. We think the same. We believe the same. But the mission is to go out in the world. Long time ago, Kausi came here and spoke about the young women on the streets that are making money out of their own bodies. And she made a call for the church to go and pray for these young women. The circumstances out there that makes people to be who they are, live a sinful life, might not be that they choose to be in that kind of a space. We have the mission to serve the world while we are serving God. A balance. Life is about balance. You cannot just take in the word all the time. You need to exercise faith. And that is going out there. Mix with those people that you feel they don't deserve the best. Because, as I said, love is a choice. Feelings are chemical substances. Feelings can change anytime. As Christians, we act as if we believe in God based on feelings, how we feel. We choose not to. Love. Love of God is endless. It's unconditional. That's what we should take. I want to encourage this church. As much as we're doing a lot in the church to make a change in our community, I have to commend this church. As much as this church is a small church, and we like that because it's easy to know everyone. And when you guys see me on the streets, you're excited about it. Some churches don't have the privilege that we have here. They don't know each other because it's too much. 5,000 people in a church? You're not going to be able to know everyone. I almost know everyone here. Except our visitors, of course, welcome. I'm not the pastor, by the way. Next week you should come back. He's a good guy. As much as you think I'm funny, he's a funny one. He's a nice guy, though. And you know one thing I like, Pastor Brian? He's real. He's real. Maybe you don't see that in him. He's very real. And maybe sometimes as Christians, we're not real. We are like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, they looked like they liked finer things in life. Liked where maybe in this day and age we'd say Gucci and Versace. Just to look good. But Jesus saw them inside. And many times Jesus has spoken of Pharisees, you see, he's rebuking them. You like to represent yourself like you're all good, but inside, oh man, should I use that word? You're rotten. There's nothing inside. And you know one secret? I was told by my mama, empty tins make a lot of noise. Pharisees, we are just making noise all the time. The Pharisees saw Jesus and his disciples eating. And they were like, why? You and your disciples are eating on a Sabbath. Lots of noise. They had no grounds, no proof. They brought a woman. And we find this woman committing adultery. What thou shalt say? Jesus was quiet, just wrote on the ground. They made a lot of noise. Are we Christians that are like Pharisees today? Blah, blah, blah. We all watch sports. As much as we like our different types of sports, rugby, yeah? I like soccer. Cricket, yeah? I don't understand what cricket is all about, to be honest. You can't watch sports the whole day. Come on, that sport is retrogressing instead of progressing. You watch cricket the whole day, the Proteas. Nah, that's why you call them the chalkers, man. That's the whole day. Netball, maybe. Maybe the game of the rich ones. Yeah. I mean, that's lazy. Shows you've got the money. You swing that one. You don't hit it once. You like, it's the game of the rich ones. There's something called the Monday coach in sports. The Monday coach, especially in soccer. The Monday coaches, they come on a Monday. If you're working, they come. And they talk about the whole game. But what the Monday coach does is this. Let's say, I don't want to tell you what team I support, but if you're here, when Peter Benson was preaching, he was on to something with Marco. And he was mentioning a team. That's a team also I support. I'm glad Peter Benson doesn't know. The Monday coach will come to you on a Monday. There was rugby yesterday. Watch out for the Monday coach tomorrow. Because he's going to tell you how the game was supposed to be played, what was supposed to happen in the game, who was supposed to play, and they were going to win the game. That's a Monday coach. A Monday coach will criticize, but at the end of the day, the Monday coach always wins the game. They don't have anything to do with the game before the game, when the game is played, but they got everything to do with it after the game has been played. Today we've got Christians that are like Monday coaches. They've got nothing to do with the church. They come to church, they sit, and they just watch. Sometimes they'll tell you, today I didn't connect with the worship team. Something was wrong there. It's true. But do you take an initiative as one of the Christians belonging to this Christian family and go to Ingrid and say, I think something was missing today. Are you guys okay? I'm just checking on you. And maybe I make a mistake during my AV duty. And you see I didn't put up the words in the right place. Do you just moan and groan? There was a time that I made a mistake. And I was told by Ted, someone was saying to me, get the words right. We need to be involved as Christians. Not like a Monday coach. Our mission is to be involved in every single aspect in our life. You know why? Because Jesus says we are the salt. We are the salt. What happens when you put the salt? It changes taste. It tastes better. We have to be on a mission where we look out for opportunities where we make a change. We shouldn't watch from a distance. We like our remotes, of course, and those comfortable seats, some of them reclining. It's a comfortable place to be. But we can't watch from a distance because we are not like the world. We are like God. And God came all the way from heaven to make a change, to save the world. And give us salvation. I am a man who talks about love because I know if you love, you're not going to just let it be. You'll do something about it. Love is an actual word. If you love God, then you shall love those around you. The scripture in Luke 11, verse 42, is criticizing the Pharisees because of what they do. It says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give the tenth of the mint and of the rue and of every garden herb, but you disregard justice and the love of God. These things you are under obligation to do, and do not disregard those other things." We are obliged to be actional Christians. And for me, it's encouraging. You're doing good in this church. I was brought into eldership, and I've seen amazing love. I've experienced a lot of care in this church. Last week, I got dropped. And when I just opened my mouth, I put it out to... We do have a WhatsApp group for the worship team. Messages were flooding. Comforting me, praying for me. They didn't steal a lot. I tried to be a hero, chasing those guys. I got myself injured. Wanted to be like Van Damme. So they robbed me. And I got injured at the same time. But the love I experienced after that assured me that God is always with us. That was an important thing for me. It was almost like there's this renewal in my faith. And why I'm saying I've experienced love, because one of the things that was stolen was a kettle. Two people in this church put up their hand. I've got a spare kettle. I was tempted to take both. In case they rob me again. But it was via the WhatsApp group. So I was like, how do I say in the WhatsApp group that I'm okay, I'll get both. Like, this guy's greedy. Nah, he's not greedy. Just being black. We like free things, yeah? But most of the people are anyway. But our love for God is measured by how much we love and care for others. God has loved us by providing us with a wonderful gift. The Bible. The Bible. This is the secret where you find love. You know when you quote someone? Anyway, I'm quoting someone anyway. But when you're in a relationship where you are quite serious about the person you're in a relationship with, you want to know everything. The good and the bad. Because your decision is based on that. If the good outweighs the bad, then it's a relationship for good. That's why you get married. Because the good outweighs the bad. God has given us the good and the bad. Here. God is angry here. God has shown that is very, very harsh sometimes. He's not hiding anything in this Bible. God is not presenting himself as all holy and God has got regrets in this Bible. If you go to Genesis 6, you see God regretting creating man. Reducing his number of years to 120 years. I'm sorry if you're over 120. But that's what the Bible says. He regretted. He was excited also. God has given us himself through the Bible. You cannot have a relationship with God if you don't accept this gift. The Word. Your decision is based on that. And when we think about God being so wonderful, I mean, he has given us his own begotten Son, Jesus Christ. and we follow him. But this son says, go. And this is my reminder today. Before I get too excited. My time and that time, they're both at 10 o'clock. So I might be thinking, it's time. But I want to remind you something before I finish this sermon. Is that we have the very core in our midst of God's creation. And that is love. When we look at each other, let us think love. Because we sit back and watch from a distance. Because we don't really want to get involved. Because it's not up to us to fix things. Let them fix for themselves. But the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. The only measure of how you should love is yourself. Which means you are the mirror. You go into the mirror and you look at yourself. If you don't look good, for the ladies, makeup. For the men, we try. You know, men are not really into, I would say, looking good. But we try. I mean, put my jacket. Shave. You know, we try. Men are not the most beautiful creatures. We do accept that. But we look at ourselves and we feel good about ourselves. So why can't we also present that to people? That the people should feel good about themselves by looking at us. Because we represent God. We need to be Christians that reminds each and every person around us that God is love. And this is how we conquer. We can't sit back. We can't watch from a distance. In my language, they say, sorry, I'm looking at you all the time because you're my friend. Beg away and above. I want to tell you something. In my language, there is, it's going to sound Chinese, this. But we say, "Watsala chile, ndikumene kupita moto." No one has gotten this one. Where there is bush remaining is where the fire is going. If the bush is burning, from where it's starting from, and this side there's bush, where is this fire going? This side. And we like to watch from a distance as if we are not involved, as if it doesn't affect us. There's a lot of things that affect us because we just watch from a distance. These political problems that we have today, we were watching in 19 whatever, they affect us today. Our society, our communities, the problem, just go and look at the spectrum of the problems that we face. These are the things that someone somehow could have changed. If Jesus didn't come and died on that cross and give us a little bit of hope, which is much bigger hope of an eternal life, where would we be? When you read history, a lot of bad things happened. But because of this word, because there is hope, we can still move on. You see why we move on? Because there is hope for a better tomorrow. As much as things are seemingly deteriorating, the moral decay, the standard itself of living, seems like something needs to happen miraculously. We are not Christians that should believe in miracles. We should believe in God. Because God is the one that gives the miracle. I want to complete the equation today. And you might be aware of this. We believe in God, the Father. God, the Son. And the Holy Spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? In us. Simple mathematical equation. You cannot belong to God's family if you don't have this Holy Spirit? Jesus is saying, ask for it. He sent it to the disciples, but he's saying, ask for it. This Holy Spirit is going to activate in us the godly living, the godly life will belong to this family. It's a wonderful family. I like this church. Word, love, and care, and we do it. But we should keep on reminding each other, folks. We need to, we cannot stay back. We can't watch from a distance. Hillcrest needs us. Assegai, Waterfall, Pine Town. These places need us. Kloof, I'm trying my best to balance everyone here. But we need to be the representatives of God. I want to leave you humbly. I know I can talk that much, but I just want to humble myself and finish my ceremony by leaving you with a very important verse. This is an advice from Christ himself. It's in 1 John 4, verse 11. And I'll read, and I'll finish. Beloved ones, if this is how God loved us, then we are also under obligation to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we continue loving one another, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. By this, we know that we are remaining in union with him, and he is in union with us, because he has given his Spirit to us. I want to thank you for being lovely people all the time. I'm still on the audio for 5 years, yeah? So don't get tired of me. I love to talk to people, you know, because that's how I learn a lot of things. My journey is more of learning and understanding. Because without the knowledge, we are all dead. I might tell you that. What's written in Hosea 4 verse 6 is true. The people are being destroyed because of lack of knowledge. And for me, learning is very important. So I learn a lot from you guys. Luis, I don't know if that's the correct way of pronouncing your name. Luis sounds French. Adrian. By the way, I would say Adrian. I was brought up and I was taught by the British syllabus. The A, we say Adrian. I want to thank you very much. The pastor is coming back next week. There will be communion. I'll be in Molweni. Thank you very much, guys. You've been wonderful. Be blessed and let his glory shine upon you. And let him bless his word. Thank you. Amen.